Hi, I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to Edgewise, where you'll hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Today, we'll be talking to Chuck Martin, author of the book Leadership Smarts, Hardwired for Success. He'll talk to us about the strengths and weaknesses we are born with and how to manage them to maximize our success. But first, we'd like to invite you to provide feedback on this podcast by either emailing us at podcast@amanet.org or calling us at 800-697-3406. Your email or phone message might be heard on a future episode. Chuck Martin is chairman and CEO of NFI Research, a firm that analyzes business and management trends. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Digital Estate. His new book, Leadership Smarts, published by Amacom Books, identifies the 12 essential cognitive skills that we are born with and how managing them determines our success or failure. Chuck, your book says that we are hardwired for success. What does it mean to be hardwired?
Well, basically, people are quite familiar with left and right brain because it's been talked about for decades, but there's another part of your brain in the front, right behind your forehead, called the frontal lobes. And based on decades of neuroscience brain research, it is known that there are 12 specific things, or called cognitive functions or executive skills, that are located in that part of the brain. And they're executive skills not because they're skills of executives, they're because they help you execute. And these 12 things are things like time management, focus, task initiation, emotion control, planning, prioritization, and so forth. And everyone has 12 of these, and two or three are their strongest, and two or three that are their weakest, and they are basically not changeable for life. So if your weakest skill is, say, time management, and you take 5 or 10 time management courses, it will still be your weakest skill. If that's your strongest skill and you take a time management course, you actually will get better at using your skill because you'll have more tools to do it, but it doesn't really change it.
So can you walk us through what those 12 executive skills are?
Yes, the 12 executive skills are, and this is in order that psychologists believe they are developed from starting at birth. Self-restraint, which is being able to essentially not speak before you think, so you don't put your foot in your mouth all the time. Working memory, and that's that your memory is basically on all the time, no matter how busy you get. Emotion control, which is the ability to manage emotions so you can direct behavior, achieve goals, and so forth. Focus, which is pretty obvious. You can maintain attention to things despite being distracted on the side. You still can remain focused. Task initiation, this is being able to start things without procrastination. So when someone gives you something to do, you really start it right away. If you're very low in that, you'll do anything but start the thing. Planning prioritization. This is basically having a roadmap to reach a goal, and you just have it built into your brain. Organization, and that's also obvious that you can arrange materials and tasks according to a system. Time management, which is the ability to estimate time. It's not that you're if you're high on it, it's not just that you're on time all the time. It's actually that your brain sort of calculates automatically how to make you on time. So you don't really think about it. It's just built into the frontal lobes. Defining and achieving goals. This is the ability to set a goal and be able to follow through no matter what's going on. So when you say, I'm going to do this, you really get that done. Flexibility, and that's basically you can change plans in spite of new information or setbacks. Observation, that's the ability to stand back and take a sort of an outside view of yourself or an action or of others as well and say, how could we do this better? And you very naturally do that. And last is stress tolerance, and that's basically being able to thrive under pressure and under uncertainty. Now, what's important to keep in mind is when you're under pressure, under stress, your weakest skills fail first, and that will always be the case.
Okay. So you say that each of us is strong in certain skills and not in others. Now, I've seen people who are really good at time management at work, but they're a wreck at home, and vice versa. So how do you account for that contradiction?
I mean, your brain is your brain. Your executive skill strengths are your executive skill strengths, whether you're at home or at work. Same thing with your weaknesses. Now, at work, what's different is there are essentially props around you. So an executive or a manager, for example, they may be disastrously low in time management and focus, but they might have a brilliant assistant who's very high in those executive skills, and they're keeping the person, it's time to go to this meeting now, it's time to do this now. So they look like they're really good at time management and focus, but they're really not. And when they go home, they don't have that same support system. So all of a sudden, they're at home, and it's really just sort of a mess, if you will, because there isn't that assistant saying, hey, now it's time to this, time to do that, whatever. And a lot of businesses really run like that, where there's a lot of queuing around an individual that make things happen, even though a person might be low in a specific executive skill. But the executive skills, no matter where you are, they are inherently the same. So if all things being equal, at home and in work, you would in fact react pretty much the same way.
So how can I use these insights into these executive skills when I'm working in a team?
Well, in a team situation, and this is whether it's a project team or even a management team, based on what is the objective, the objective should be measured first. So if it's a team to develop a new product, well, you say on that team we should really have someone who's very good in observation so they can really step back and look at better ways to do things. You want someone who's high in flexibility because they would be people who can just flow off the next idea, and they're really good people to brainstorm with. You also want to have someone on the team who's high in, say, time management and focus, because you want to make sure that the team gets done on time and has something executable. Typically what happens in an organization is when you're going to have a brainstorming session, you might bring people sort of naturally, all these great idea people. If you have a team where they're all high in the same things, which would be, say, observation and flexibility, they'll come out with the greatest idea on the planet, and you'll have no chance of execution. On the other hand, if you stack a team with people who are high in time management, low in flexibility, high in focus, they will come up with something that is the perfect executable item, and it's basically not a good idea. So it's really about balance, not only balancing, getting the right combination of people on the team, but it's also a matter of making sure that the right people have the right role once they're on the team, so that the person who's high in time management should be the person who's in charge of keeping the meeting running on time. You don't want the person high in flexibility in charge of the meeting, because you'll never end the meeting. And people know that. They've seen these meetings where they just go on and on and on. They start late. They don't run in time. You have some great brainstorming, but then you have to have another meeting to determine what we were supposed to do at the first meeting.
Can you tell me how these executive skills can help us in the job market, whether we're looking for a new job or if we're a manager looking for a new hire?
Yes, in SMARTS, what we did is we have an instrument where you determine your own strengths and weaknesses in about 7 to 10 minutes. But then key is that gives you sort of one piece of the puzzle. That's okay. This is what I'm strong and weak in. Then there's an instrument that lets you measure what is required for the job or task. And then you see here are the two or three high executive skills required for this job. Then you can say, well, here are the skills that I have. How do I match against that? And once you know that, you have an incredible advantage when you're, say, looking for another job or even hiring someone if you're a manager. So what happens is you, while you're interviewing, and we have the questions of actually what to ask in the book based on if you are high in specific things, you can actually measure if the job that you're interviewing for is the match against your strengths or if it's a match against your weaknesses. If it's a match against your strengths, you're likely to be pretty good at the job because it will be less stressful for you to do. If it's a mismatch, you're probably not going to succeed long-term in that role or job. So it's really important to, before the interview, and again, whether you're the interviewer or the interviewee, to measure what skills are required for the job. And again, this cognitive function, it's not skill like you know how to do something. It's basically what is required. Is this a high flexibility job or whatever? And then probe for those things. What people tend to do is hire people like themselves. And everyone knows how this works in a business where two or three or four people separately interview a candidate, and then what happens is things go really well, and you get the four people get back together. So what do you think? Well, I really liked him. What do you think? I liked him, too. I liked him, too. Well, the reason they might have all liked him is because the executive skill set might be an exact match of those doing the hiring. The reality is the job itself may require different strengths than what those four people have because they aren't really hiring themselves. They're hiring for a specific job. What happens then is the person gets in the job, and they're a mismatch of executive skill sets. And what happens is, over time, they fail. And then the four people who did the hiring, the conversation goes something like, gee, we're really sorry this didn't work out. We really like you. And of course they like them because you've got the same executive skills. So, for example, in an interview, if you've got people who are high in the executive skills of observation, flexibility, and low in time management, you'll have this great conversation. Your ideas will be flowing like crazy. It'll just be terrific. And that might not be what's required for the job. And for example, if you look at, and everyone knows a case like this where someone is a really great salesperson, they're fabulous, they get promoted into sales management and they become a total disaster. Mm-hmm. People say, how could that be? Well, the reason is in sales, the executive skills required are flexibility to basically roll with the customer, emotion control so you don't lose your cool with the customer, and defining achieving goals. Ultimately, you know, what is the ultimate objective to get this sale? What do I do? In sales management, on the other hand, the high skills are planning, prioritization, organization, time management, so you can manage the whole sales force, and observation, so you're always looking at ways to make the sales force better. So they're totally different executive skills required for sales versus sales management. And that's not taken into consideration when someone gets promoted. They just look at promoting the person who's best in sales. Now, the great irony here is the person who is bad at sales might be because their executive skills are a better match for sales management, not for sales. But they're not likely to get promoted where they would succeed. They're likely to essentially fail in their current role. And this is why you see someone who is a failure at one company moves to another company, and they're wildly successful. And people at the old company said, how can that person be successful? They were so bad here. Well, it's because they got a better executive skills match with the job.
So last question, what are the five things that you want people to take away from your book, Leadership Smarts?
Well, the first thing people need to do is to understand what their strengths and weaknesses are, because this is eye-opening for a lot of people. And I hear this all the time. That someone does the questionnaire, use the instrument, and they say, wow, I didn't know why. That's the why of how things are about me, myself. Then, once you have that tool, number two, have the ability to always look at what it is you're about to do for a task or project and see what kind of a match that is for your executive skills profile. Is it a good match or is it a bad match? Then you can pretty much anticipate what's going to be the result of that, whether you will be successful or not successful. And then lastly, look at how to basically get yourself into positions that would be a much, much better fit, what we call the perfect fit of your executive skills match strengths and weaknesses against the job strengths and weaknesses, because that's the holy grail of this whole thing, is to get an executive skills match and find positions that always play to your strengths, because you really can't fix your weaknesses. I mean, you can deal with the problems they cause, which we discuss a lot in the book, but you can't really change your weakness is your weakness, your strength is your strength. It's really like you're 5'6" and you want to be 5'8". Well, you can want to be 5'8" all you want, but you'll still be 5'6". And that's the reality, and that's the way executive skills are in your brain. So it's basically, number one, know what your strengths and weaknesses are, then ultimately get yourself into position so that you can measure what is required for a specific job or task, and then ultimately keep getting yourself into those kinds of situations.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
Hi, today I visited AMA's seminar on management skills for new supervisors, and I brought with me Chuck Martin's list of 12 executive skills to ask participants to identify what they thought were their best and weakest skills and how they managed those skills in their current profession. What skill do you think you're really good at, and how do you see it helping you in your particular job now?
I think stress tolerance is somewhere I don't want to say excel, but excel at. Especially in my industry, I'm in like the hedge fund industry, and you'll get a lot of stuff thrown at you all the time. You know, whether it's your daily goals, which have to happen, your monthly goals, which absolutely have to happen. There's always ad hoc things that get thrown at you, like, you know, just reporting or different ways of looking at certain numbers. And if you let all this overwhelm you, you have, and I know many people who basically will, you know, answer back or just get frustrated with your boss, you know, even though it's not really coming from them, it's not their fault, you'll take it out on them, and no one likes that. It doesn't work well for anybody, that you become kind of a problem employee.
I think I'm really good at observing people. I notice how people react to different things, different situations, different people. I notice what motivates them and, you know, how they react to what I'm saying. So I think that helps me in delegating the right things to the right people, helps me to be sensitive to what people need, and just helps me to get the best out of the people that I work with.
Do you see anything that you consider yourself weak on? And
several, actually. If you had first asked me what you're not good at, I would have taken the microphone from you. I know that I have an issue with emotion control. I know I have an issue with self-restraint. I know that I have an issue with stress tolerance. That's actually one of the reasons why I'm actually at this management course.
Planning and prioritization. As much as I am an organizer and keep lists every day of things to do, when other priorities come on from either my direct reports or my managers or just the clients that I support, it's very difficult for me to stick to what my priorities are in that list when other things are coming at you during the 9-to-5.
Anything from this course that you've taken so far that might apply to this?
I think more knowing certain things that I can touch on with my direct reports and maybe scheduling that time instead of having the interruptions of them coming to my desk and appearing busy, more telling them, let's, you know, schedule a meeting at 3:30 and block my time to go over it with them then, instead of having them interrupt me a good 10-15 times during the day. So that's something that I've learned to maybe to implement.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to Edgewise.